I'm still excited about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because he died and was resurrected from the dead, I have hope tonight, knowing that he has the resurrection power to get me up from the dead. As a matter of fact, I read him in John chapter 5, verse number 28. He said, "The hour cometh, and now is, when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Jesus is going to call one day. Every dead person will get up from the grave. And every person will stand before him in that day of judgment. And I'm hoping tonight that as you stand before him in that day, you can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Come up higher and I will make thee ruler over many." I hope that you brought your Bibles tonight. This meeting is indeed a meeting of investigation. We have come here tonight to look into the Word of God, to see what God has left for mankind. And we believe that if we would accept his word, we can enjoy his salvation. And notice I said his salvation. It comes from him. It belongs to him. And if you happen to get it, it's because he gave it to you. And we thank God for that salvation. And I hope tonight that as we go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, we're going to read at least two or three verses from Isaiah chapter 62 in order to lay the foundation for this message. If you are visiting with us tonight and you are not a member of the Church of Christ, the church that was prophesied by the prophets, the church that was promised by the Christ, and the church that was preached by the apostles. If you are not a member of that church, which you can read about in the Bible, we want you to know tonight that you are indeed our honored guest. We are proud and happy to have you tonight in our midst. And we hope and we trust that as we go through the message, that you will not take it as an offense, but you will open your minds and receive God's engrafted word. Because it has the power to save our souls. Are you in Isaiah chapter 62? I want to begin with verse number 1. Because I believe that when we look at the Old Testament, we must first of all understand its purpose. The Old Testament has not been given for our obedience. We don't go back to the Old Testament to obey. The Old Testament serves as a historical record, testifying to the fact that God has dealt with his people. And we need to understand tonight that the books of the Old Testament were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. So when we look at the Old Testament tonight, I want to go back and hopefully we can learn some things from this text. And then we're going to look at the prophecy that God has given from this text and make the New Testament fulfillment from the prophecy. Is that all right with the church tonight? The Bible says, for Zion's sake,
will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's
sake. And for Jerusalem's sake.
I will not rest.
Until the righteousness thereof.
Go forth as brightness. And the salvation thereof. As a lamp that burneth.
And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness.
And all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called. By a new name. Which the mouth of the Lord shall name.
Notice, first of all, God says through the prophet Isaiah, for Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Look at verse number 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory
in the hand of the Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of thy God.
Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken.
Neither shall thy land be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah.
And thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee.
And thy land shall be married.
Isaiah warms the heart of every Christian because he shares Christ in prophecy in a very profound and dramatic fashion. He shares Christ's divinity in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah shares with us Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. Isaiah shares with us Christ's house. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But our text tonight declares unto us from Isaiah Christ's name. And I want to address the subject tonight. Called by a new name. Called by a new name. I really don't know how much time I will use tonight in order to develop this message. But I will grant you that I will give it the best of my ability.
Because I believe that men need to know what truth is all about. This prophecy of Isaiah was delivered somewhere around 698 B.C. It was given at a time when the children of Israel were waiting on their deliverance and restoration from Babylonian captivity. For many years, God had been silent. But now he shows up in the Israelite camp through the prophet Isaiah. And he tells them that I have not forgotten about my people. And I need this church to know even here tonight. You may be going through some things, but God has not forgotten about you. Oh, I heard him back over there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. I heard him in verse 4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Isn't that right? He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Church, you don't have to worry about God forgetting you. You don't have to worry about God forsaking you. God will always hold good to his word. So our text in Isaiah says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. In other words, God is saying it's time for me to step up and speak up. I want my people to know that I've been silent long enough, and I need to get a word to earth from heaven. So I call this prophet, call Isaiah. And Isaiah, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go down and tell my people that I have not forsaken them. I want you to tell my people that I'm going to visit them, and I'm going to give them a new name. It's the name that I will give. And I don't have to worry because I am God. And whatever I say, I make good on my promise. As a matter of fact, I read Numbers chapter 23. And verse 19, the Bible said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? Am I correct about it? If God said it, he's going to do it. If God has spoken it, he's going to make it good. Church, we need to hear this. He said in verse 2 of Isaiah 62, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called
by a new
name,
which the mouth of the Lord shall name.
Of the Lord shall name. Now notice, the first thing he said was the Gentiles will see thy righteousness. In other words, the Gentiles will look at the righteousness of the Jews. Now you need to make sure or you catch this, because when you look at what God said, he's going to develop this thing step by step. The first thing he says, the Gentiles will see thy righteousness. That's the righteousness of the Jews. And then number two, he said, all kings, thy glory. In other words, God is saying that all kings will also see the glory of the Jews and their righteousness. So I need you to stay with me as I develop these thoughts tonight. Now I am aware of the fact that much controversy surrounds this text, but I'm going to try and deal with it the best I can. Some people say that the new name that Isaiah was talking about is found in verse 4. However, I'm going to show that the new name is not Hephzibah, but the new name is Christian. So just stay with me. I'll be where I need to be in a few minutes. You see, church, I still believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. You see, a lot of preachers don't believe that anymore. But I'm not one of them. I still believe the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. I'm still a Bible believing preacher. I still believe that if I preach it, I ought to prove it. I still believe if I can't prove it, I ought not preach it. I don't know how you all feel about it, but I'm telling you, I still believe every preacher ought to prove what he preaches. You see, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, I still believe what John said. Some preachers don't believe this passage like they used to, but I am not one of them. I still believe. John said, beloved, believe not
every spirit,
but try the spirits,
whether they are of God,
because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I still believe if a man preaches something, he ought to back up his preaching. If he claims something, he ought to back up his claims. I don't know about you, but I still believe what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32. Some preachers don't believe this passage like they used to, but I am not one of them. I still believe that Jesus said,
and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
I still believe that the truth will make you free. Now, I don't want anybody under this tent tonight to think that I'm making up stuff as I preach. So we're going to take God's word and we're going to look in his word. Let's go back to Isaiah 62 and verse 4. I need to do a little work on this word, a Hephzibah. Do you all have time for me to do some work on this word? Well, first of all, listen to the text.
Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken.
Neither shall thy land anymore be termed desolate.
But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah.
For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. The first thing I want you to know is this. I want you to keep in mind that God was married to the children of Israel. Before I began to do anything with this term, Hephzibah, you need to understand that God was married to the nation of Israel. Well, how do you know, preacher? Go to Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 5. I came over here to prove what I preach. I don't want you to presume that my presumptions are presumable. Did you hear me? I don't want you to assume that my assumptions are assumable. I want you to know what's in the Bible. I'm not going to presume or assume anything. I'm going to tell you what's in God's word. Amen. Don't worry about my voice. I'll be all right. The devil tries to get in it every now and then, but I'm going to preach him out. Don't worry about it. Watch it. Before we close, are you in Isaiah?
Yes.
54 and verse 5. He says,
For thy maker is thine husband.
Is thine husband.
The Lord of hosts is his name.
Is his name.
And thy Redeemer.
The Holy One of Israel.
The God of the whole earth.
Shall he be called. Notice, God said to Israel, I am thy maker, thine husband. Did you catch it? God is the husband and Israel is the wife. You need to see it. God is the husband and Israel is the wife. Now, when you look at this word, God, actually comes from the Hebrew word Elohim. And I need you to get it. This word, Elohim, this term, El, I want you to get it, actually identifies Jehovah.
That's right.
He is the self-existing one. There is no God like God. There is no God like Elohim. Since God is married to Israel, I want you to look at this word, Israel. You see, on the end of Israel is E-L. That means that God named his wife. Did you catch it? That means that God named his wife. And when you get to the New Testament, you are going to see that Christ is the head of the church of Christ. He's the husband of the church of Christ. And he named his wife.
Amen.
You will see that Adam was the head of Mrs. Eve. And Adam named his wife. I maintain that every husband has the power, the right, and the authority from God Almighty to name his wife. Well, let's do two things. I don't want to rush through this, but I need you to get it. I don't want to run through it, but you need to get it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll go back to Genesis 3 and verse 20. Now, let's see what we find in Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
Of the generation
of Adam.
In the day that God created man. That God created man.
In the likeness of God. Made he him. Male and female. Created he them. And blessed them. And called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. Now watch what God did. God made male and female. Isn't that in your Bible? God made he and she.
Isn't that in your Bible?
Yeah.
And God blessed them. Isn't that in your Bible?
Yeah.
And God called their name Adam. Isn't that in your Bible?
Yeah.
God made a man, and then God made a woman. Isn't that in your Bible? Well, I need you to see what's in your Bible. So God put them both together, and they became one flesh. I say, I need you to see this. Because when you get down to it, this thing didn't start in Hollywood, California. It started when God created male and female. When God created man and woman. Now I need you to see this. You see this woman? This woman is called woman because she was taken out of man. And if you notice, you can't spell woman without spelling man. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
Now watch this. God made male and female. And if you notice, you can't spell female without spelling male. Now God made them. And if you notice, there would be no them without he. You can't spell them without spelling he. Now if you notice, God bless them and call their name Adam. If you notice, you can't spell their without spelling he. And God said, they shall be one flesh. You can't spell they without spelling he. And then for the young folk, I want you to know that God made a lady, and your lady can't be spelled without spelling lad. But I'm not finished. God made he, and God made she. And you can't spell she without spelling he. But I'm not finished. God made her, and God made he, and you can't spell her. Somebody ought to see me already. Isn't that all right? God set this thing up. Now notice what God did. God blessed them and called their name Adam. God gave two people one name.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, I need you to see this. Go to Genesis 3 and verse 20. I need you to see this. Now, what did God name them? What did God call them? God called them Adam. Isn't that right? Well, now let's see what Adam called her. I know what God called them. But I need to see what Adam called her. What did Adam call her? The Bible said,
And Adam
called
his wife.
What?
Eve.
Now wait a minute. What did God call them?
Adam.
God called them Adam. But Adam called her what?
Eve.
That tells me that every man has the right, the power, and the authority to name his wife. God called them Adam, but Adam called her Eve. Now if she has to have two names, her name is Mrs. Eve Adam. Isn't that all right? Well, they had a son named Cain, and I think that's Cain Adam. They had a son named Abel. I think that's Abel Adam. They had a son named Seth. I think that's Seth Adam. You all don't have to say amen. Just don't go to sleep. Pay attention. God's word is right. I say if they have to have two names, God named the family Adam. Now, why did he do that? Because there was a marriage that had taken place. So God was married to Israel. And what did God have the power to do? Had the power to name her. God put his name in Israel. Because he was her husband. And I need you women to understand, I love you. I've been loving women ever since I found out I wasn't one. So I don't want you to be up in here thinking I'm hating women. I love women. When I found out I wasn't one, boy, I was all right. Are you all right? I get finished here. When I get finished, I just need you to stay with me. Because I believe if you stay with me, we'll be all right. Now look at this thing. God is the husband. Israel is the wife. But now I need to look at Isaiah. Let's go back. 54. And let's check out verse 6. We just read verse 5. Let's check out verse 6. The Bible said,
"For the Lord, has called thee
as a woman forsaken
and grieved
and
in spirit,
and a wife, of you,
when thou wast refused,
said thy God. Now notice, God says to Israel, "I'm your maker, and I'm your husband. When you were forsaken as a woman and grieved in spirit." A wife of you, when thou wast refused, said the Lord. In other words, God is saying, Israel, when you were a nobody, Israel, when you were small and nobody respected you, when you were an outcast, even down there in Pharaoh's court as a slave down in Egypt, I dignified you. I took you in and I made you somebody. You're going to hear me after a while. God is saying to Israel, I took you and I cleaned you up. I made you somebody. And now the world knows you out of all the women in the world. Somebody needs to stay with me because God's word is right. And I'm glad tonight that God was married to Israel, because when Christ comes into the world, he's going to take him a wife. And I'm going to show you, he named his wife, called her by a new name. But I'm not ready for that. I need to develop Isaiah 62 and verse 4. I need to develop this text. Come on back. And I know folks say, well, now, I can't understand why that man reads the same verse 5 and 6 times every sermon. Well, let me tell you something, honey. The more you get it in you, the better you'll be. You'll wake up in the morning, have it in your heart. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Bible does say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 and verse 11. In other words, the more we put this in our heart, the better we be. Or the better we are for it. God's word is right. So let's hear this word, Hephzibah, one more time.
Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken.
No more be termed forsaken.
Neither shall thy land anymore be termed desolate.
Be termed desolate.
But thou shalt be called.
Thou shalt be called.
Hephzibah.
Hephzibah.
And thy land.
Now notice this word, Hephzibah. He did not say, watch this. He did not say that Hephzibah is the new name. He just simply said, thou shalt be called Hephzibah. But now watch this. I'm going to work with it. Drop down to verse number 12. Let's put this thing together. Verse number 12.
And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed,
of the Lord.
And thou shalt
be called
sought out a city, a not, city forsaken.
Not forsaken. Did you catch what they would be called? Now in verse 4, they would be called Hephzibah. But in verse 12, they will be called the holy people. Number 2, they will be called the redeemed of the Lord. And number 3, they will be called the sought out. And number 4, they will be called a city not forsaken. Well, if I really had the time, I'd go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And I'll show you his holy people. Notice, he said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, he said, they would be the redeemed of the Lord. Come to Titus chapter 2. I won't read verses 11 through 14, so let's just get verse 14 to make a long story short. You all have time? I ought to read all of them, because some of you are going to put your Bible down tonight and not going to pick it up till next Sunday. But I hope you come back to the meeting. Titus 2 and verse number 14. The Bible says,
Who gave himself for us. That he might redeem us.
That he might redeem us.
From all iniquity.
From all iniquity.
And purify unto himself. A peculiar people. Zealous of good works.
What did he come to do? He came to redeem us. And because he redeemed us, we are the redeemed of the Lord. And then he said, they were going to be called the sought out. You remember that?
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the word church, that word church comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. And ek means out. Klesia means to call. So what is God doing? He's calling us out. Well, he can't call us out if he doesn't seek us out. So God sought us out to call us out. And when he sought us out to call us out to bring us in, now we can say that we are the people of God.
Amen.
Oh, I could run through this thing all night long. But you know, if you don't believe one verse, you won't believe two.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible is right. And I see it all the time with people.
Yeah.
You answer one question for them and they'll say, well, what about this? And I hear some church people. Well, Brother Hope, when are you going to preach some new sermons? When you obey the old ones. If you obey the old ones, I'll preach some new ones. You're having problem with the old one and you want something new. God's word is right. Then he said there will be a city not forsaken. Jesus said the church is like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, that's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You all know the Bible is right. But what about this word Hephzibah? Some translations render this word Hephzibah as my delight is in her. Well, Hephzibah simply means my delight is in her. Remember, Israel was married to God, but Hephzibah cannot be the new name because, number one, it is not new. Now, you got to catch this. How in the world can Hephzibah be the new name when, in fact, it's in the Old Testament? Now, you got to catch this. If it's in the Old Testament, how can it be new? It can't be new if it's in the Old. That tells me right there it's old. Because it's where? In the Old Testament. How can something in the Old Testament be new when it's in the Old? Well, stick with me. I know where I'm going. Just stay right here. This word Hephzibah is not a new name. Go to 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 1 and let's see. And I just want you all to know, because all you saw was me write H-E. I couldn't spell the rest of it. God didn't tell me to preach spelling. Told me to preach the gospel. Isn't that all right? You know how to spell it. You spell it. Isn't that good? Oh, I got it now. But now I want you to see something. I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 1. I want you to see what the Bible says. Now 2 Kings is in what testament? The old or the new?
Old.
It's in the old, right?
Yeah.
Well, now watch what the text says. In 2 Kings 21 and verse 1. The Bible said
Manasseh was 12 years old
when he began to reign.
And reigned 55 years
in Jerusalem.
And his mother's name was Hephzibah.
Isn't that all right? Now, what was his mama's name?
Hephzibah.
Well, that's how we say it in Mississippi. We don't say mother. We say mama. Now, what was his mama's name?
Hephzibah.
His mama's name was Hephzibah. Now, how can Hephzibah be the new name when a woman had it in the Old Testament? I'm just trying to work with this thing. Because I believe people need to have an understanding. King Hezekiah was married to this woman. And somebody needs to understand what the Bible is saying. God's word is right. And we need to understand that his word is right. Come over with me. 2 Kings chapter 20. Beginning with verse number 14. The Bible is right. Listen to it.
Then came Isaiah.
The prophet.
Unto King Hezekiah. And said unto him. What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee?
And Hezekiah said,
They come from a far country. Even from Babylon. And he said,
What have they seen in thine house?
And Hezekiah answered. And all the things that thou in thine house. Have they seen? And there is nothing among my treasure. That I have not showed them. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah.
Notice. Isaiah said to Hezekiah.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Behold, the days come.
That all that is in thine house
and all that thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day
shall be carried into Babylon.
Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord.
And of thy sons.
That shall issue from thee. Which thou shalt beget.
Shall they take away?
And they shall be eunuchs.
In the palace of the king of Babylon.
Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah.
Good is the word of the Lord.
Which thou hast spoken.
And he said.
Is it not good.
If peace and truth be in my days.
And the rest of the...
Wait a minute. I just want you to get this. Just as Hezekiah delighted in his wife. Listen. God delighted in his wife. Called Israel. And when I look at this word, Hezekiah, I see it like God gave it. The word means pleasure, desire, delight, a valuable thing, or something acceptable. In other words, Hezekiah accepted his wife as being a pleasure and a delight to him. God accepted Israel as being a pleasure and a delight in him. So when I look at this word, Hephzibah, I'm simply saying that God delighted in her. Are you catching it? You have to see it. If you don't see this, you're going to miss what I'm trying to get over to you. Because the Bible is right. Let's go drop down to verse number 21 and listen to this.
And Hezekiah
slept with his father.
And Manasseh his son
reigned in his stead. I read that to connect Hezekiah with Manasseh, who is his son, whose mama name is Hephzibah. Did you catch it? I'll go through all of it, and then people still turn around and say, what did you mean? Did you say, that's exactly what I said. And you need to understand it like that. Because when I look at what God said in the Old Testament, it's written for our learning. So what have we just learned? We just learned that God had a people called Israel. And God named his people. We've just learned that Hezekiah had a wife named Hephzibah. So that word is not new at all. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2. We have to go back there again. Somebody, again? Yes. Let's go back there again.
And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness.
And all kings thy glory.
And thou shalt be called by a new name.
Which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Now, I need to work on this because there are some folk that say that the name Christian was given to Christians as a mockery, given in derision. They say that we receive the name Christian from our enemies. They say that people were making fun of us and gave us a byword called Christian. But I need to tell you, that's just not so. Our enemies didn't name us. The Bible said the mouth of the Lord shall name. Isn't that right? Well, I need to work with this. Because you have men like Minister Louis Farrakhan of the nation of Israel or Islam. They say through Minister Farrakhan that the name Christian is not the new name that God gave his people. But I need Minister Farrakhan to read this and see what God said. Now, this is what bothers me about that kind of thinking. Well, now, when Minister Farrakhan was born, his name was Louis Eugene. And I want you all to get this. Let me take my time. His name was Louis Eugene Walcott. Now watch this. Louis Eugene Walcott. And he says that he had a slave name. And what he had to do, he had to get rid of his slave name. And thus he received the name of Farrakhan. Are you all paying attention? Well, I can't spell it either. Well, I want you to get this. He received this name, Farrakhan. Now watch this. He said he had to get rid of his slave name and take on his free name. Well, then, when I was studying with Islam, my name is Daryl D. Holt. And they told me, but I didn't like that name there. But they told me that I had to get rid of Holt, my slave name. Well, this is what puzzles me about the whole thing. You see, Walcott was his slave name, his last name. So they say if I get rid of Holt and I become Daryl D. Muhammad, want you to get me now. I'm Daryl D. Muhammad. Well, my first name is somebody else's last name. So that's a slave name. My second name is somebody else's last name. So that's a slave name. His first name is somebody else's last name. So that's a slave name. His middle name is somebody else's last name. So that's a slave name. So he ought to be Farrakhan, Farrakhan, Farrakhan. They all slave names based on what he said. Are you all paying attention? I have no fear because I believe the Bible is right. I stand on the word of God. As a matter of fact, the word of God will get you out of trouble if you stand on it.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, that was a man told me a story not long ago. He said, Brother Holt, I need to tell you this story. And when people tell me story, I tell it to other folk. Because they are worth hearing. This man was told by his mother, stand on the word of God and it'll get you out of trouble. Stand on it. This boy went away from home, man, and made millions of dollars. And he built him a big, fabulous house. And that house, man, had two stories up and a basement down. And one day, he was caught in a fire in his house. Down in the basement, and he couldn't get out. And man, this guy was going to the window, but he couldn't reach it. So he pulled a chair up to the window and he stood in the chair and he still couldn't reach the window. And then he looked around and he saw a board and he put that board in the chair and he stood and still couldn't get out of the window. He saw an old brick on the floor in the basement and put the brick on the board in the chair and still couldn't reach the window. And then he thought about what his mama told him. If you stand on the Bible, it'll get you out of trouble. He saw that old family Bible, put that old family Bible on top of that brick, which was on that board, which was in that chair. And he stood up on that Bible and reached that window and got out of that house that was burning. And he looked back and said, my mama told me if I stand on the Bible, it'll get me out of trouble. So I'm going to stand on the Bible so it can get me out of trouble. And I know if I stand on it, I'll be all right. Somebody needs to hear what the Bible is saying. Now let's work with this new name. Let's see what God said about it. And I know we've been working with this for a while. But let's see what God said. Watch this. In Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. What I need you to understand is this. When God sent Jesus, he came and he chose 12 men, called these 12 men, made them apostles, named them apostles. He first sent them out on a limited commission. They were not to go everywhere. They could not go to the Gentiles. Now watch this. Why could they not go to the Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles were seen as heathens. The Gentiles had not been accepted into the family of God at this time. So they were not to go in the way of the Gentiles. But let me tell you something. All of that is going to change.
Amen.
But right now, the Bible says, Matthew 10 and verse 5.
These twelve sent Jesus sent forth.
Jesus sent forth.
And commanded them,
and
saying,
Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Into the way of the Gentile.
And into any.
Now note it. That's good enough. Why did he tell them not to go? Don't go into the way
of
the Gentile. Now remember this. Isaiah said, the Gentile shall see thy righteousness. Well, at this point, the Gentile had not seen the righteousness of the Jew. They didn't even go that way. Go to Acts 10 and verse 28. Because the Jew would not even enter into a house of a Gentile. But something is going to happen. God is going to do something. Acts chapter 10 and verse 28.
And he,
that's Peter.
And he said unto them,
He said unto them,
You know not, you know how that is an
unlawful
thing.
Is an unlawful thing
for a man that is
for
a Jew.
Man that is a Jew
to keep company.
To keep company.
Or coming to one
or
of another nation.
To one of another nation.
But God has showed
but
me.
God
that
has shown me
that I should not call any man common.
I should not call any man common
or unclean.
Or unclean. Now watch this. What took place in verses 1-6? God appeared to a man named Cornelius. Are you all paying attention? Cornelius was the centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That meant Cornelius was over 100 men. That's what the word centurion means. Century, 100. He was over 100 men. He had 100 men under him. But the angel of the Lord came to him and told him to send for Peter.
Yeah.
You all remember that? And he sent for Peter. But before he sent for Peter, God had to work on Peter. God knew Peter wouldn't go down there if he didn't work on him. Because Jews didn't go to the house of a Gentile. So what God had to do, God had to show Peter some meat. Are you all listening? God had to show Peter some meat to help Peter see a man. You know, y'all got to catch this. If Peter had not seen that meat, he never would have seen that man. So God had to show Peter some ham in order to get Peter to see a human. Now you're going to catch it in a minute. You see, they didn't eat ham. That's from the hog, the pig. They didn't eat anything common or unclean. And that swine, that ham, are y'all listening? Was unclean. So they didn't eat that. So God had to show him some meat and some ham to get him to see a man and a human. Sometimes God has to show us some stuff to get us to see men like we ought to see them. Sometimes we get beside ourselves. And God has to teach us a lesson. God had to show Peter all kinds of creatures to get him to see the creature that he created. But God did that. God took out the time to let down this knitted sheep, and Peter saw all kinds of four-footed animals and creeping things and fires of the air. He saw all of these unclean animals, and God told him, Peter, arise, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. God said, look, boy, did you catch it? Don't call what I created common or unclean. The Gentiles are just as good as the Jews.
Amen. Amen.
Because I concluded all y'all under sin.
That's right.
Did you catch it? So what is Peter getting ready to do? Peter is getting ready to go down to a Gentile's house. And when he gets down there, the Gentile will see the righteousness of the Jew. Lord, a Jew is in my house. They must be changing. Look at America. I say, look at America. America must be changing. Oh, yes. A man that used to be seen as 3/4 or 3/5 of a man is now in the White House. We must be changing. And when I look at Peter, Peter was down at this Gentile's house, and I say, Peter must be changing. Watch this, watch this. I'm not going to go through the whole text in Acts 10. Go to Acts 11 and verse 1. I'll just do it this way. And then I want somebody to go back to Acts 4, 25 and 20 through 27 because I got to get the kings in here. Isn't that all right? Man, this thing is going to take place just like God said it. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says,
and the apostles and brethren,
and the apostles and brethren
that were in Judea,
that were in Judea,
heard that the Gentiles
Gentiles
had also received the word of God.
Had also received
the word of God.
The word of God.
And
wait, what had the Gentile received?
The word of God.
The word of God. You know what that tells me? That tells me the Gentiles are in the same family
with the Jews. Mm-hmm. Acts 10 and verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Am I correct about it? Well, now the Gentiles had received the word of God. I just need to get to Kings, because he said, when the Gentiles see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, thou shalt be called by a new name.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, in Acts 4, verse 25, watch the book.
Who by the mouth of thy servant
of
David.
Thy servant David.
Has said.
Why did the heathen rage?
And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth. Stood up. And the rulers were gathered together. Against the Lord. And against his Christ.
Am I correct about it? Well, that's Pilate and Herod. We don't have to read anymore. I'm telling you, all the kings saw God's glory. Jesus was the glory of God. I thought I'd tell you.
Amen.
Oh, don't make me run over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24 and have me all over the Bible, honey. Jesus was the glory of God. And I want somebody to know tonight that when the Gentiles saw the glory of the Lord, and the Gentiles receive the word of God, God said, I will call my servants by a new name. Let's go back to Acts 11 and verse 26. I'm almost finished, because somebody needs to see what God said in his word. That's why I call this sermon called by a new name, because the Lord gave the name. In Acts 11 and verse 26, the Bible says,
And when he had found him,
he brought him unto Antioch.
And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves
with the church
and taught much people.
And the disciples
were called
Christians.
First in Antioch.
Now you need to see this. First of all, the Bible said, and taught much people. These folk were taught to be Christians. They were not made fun of and called Christian. The Bible said they were called Christians. That's God's divine call. That's the same call that he said he would call in Isaiah 62 and verse number 2. But I need you to see this, because back in Isaiah 56 and verse number 5. Isaiah 56 and verse number 5. He said, even to them will I give in my house
and within my walls
a place and a name
better than the sons and daughters.
I will give them an everlasting name
that shall not be cut off.
Now watch God. Even unto them will I give in my house. Wait a minute. In my house. What is God's house? God's house is God's church. So in God's church, he's going to give an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. In God's house, he's going to give them a place and a name. And the reason why a lot of people tonight are wearing the wrong name is because they are in the wrong place. If you get in the right place, you will get the right name. Wrong place, wrong name. Right place, right name. Well, what is that place? Ephesians 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So when you get in Christ, you're in the right place. Am I correct about it? Well, Christ has a church called the body of Christ, or the church of Christ, that's in Christ. Go to Romans 12, 4 and 5. And I want to show you what's in Christ. People are arguing about the church. But you don't have to argue about the church. Just read the Bible. Am I correct about it? You see a whole lot of folk are running around here talking about we had a Bible in our church. I don't want to know if the Bible is in your church. I want to know, is your church in the Bible? You see, you can have a Bible in your church, but if your church is not in the Bible, then you are not a part of the Bible church. We need to be in the Bible church. And the Bible church is in the Bible. Not a church that has a Bible in it, but a church that's in the Bible. Romans 4:12, verse 4. The Bible said, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And every one members
of another.
One of another. Now, what's in Christ? One body in
Christ.
Now, watch this. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ, where there is one body, one church that's in Christ. Where you need to get in the one body or the one church that's in Christ. If you get in Christ, you're in the right place. You're in the church of Christ, you're in the right place. But if you're not in Christ and not in the church of Christ, you are not in the right place. I'm almost finished. I have to say that one more time. I close three times, that's about every sermon. I'm almost finished. One body in Christ. Isn't that right? You need to see. He said now, back to Acts 11. I got to get you to see this. I'm working up to something. Acts 11 and verse 26. And when he, that's Barnabas, had found him, that Saul, whose name was changed to Paul,
he brought him
to Antioch,
and
it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves
with the church.
Now stop right there. Who did they assemble with?
The church.
They assembled themselves with the church. Now what is the church? The church is a house. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Don't make me go to 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, thou tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillaring ground of the truth. So they were in the house, in the church. God said, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. Now notice, this name Christian, did you read it in the Old Testament? You know why it's not in the Old Testament? It's because it's new. Now what testament is it in? It's in the New Testament. So what does that mean? That means it's new. So if you want to be a Christian, where must you be? You must be in the house, in the church that Jesus built. Now wait a minute. And I know you all think I'm just about finished, and I am, but I need to tell you something. When it comes down to this new name, this name, Christian, you remember I told you back then, you couldn't spell Israel without spelling L. You couldn't spell man, a woman without spelling man. Couldn't spell female without spelling male. Couldn't spell she without spelling he. Couldn't spell them without spelling he. Couldn't spell them without spelling he. Couldn't spell lady without spelling land. Y'all remember that? Well, let me tell you, you can't spell Christian without spelling Christ. And you know why? Because Christ married to the church. Christ named his wife. And when Christ put his name on his wife, that tells me every other man must keep his. What y'all pick?
Amen.
See, in Mississippi, it's cotton. So you keep your cotton picking hands off of it. Now, what do you all pick? You pick oranges? Well, keep your orange picking hands off of it. God's word is right. How can a man argue with this? How can the Jehovah Witnesses argue with this? How can the Jehovah Witnesses say that they wear the name Jehovah Witness and God said, I'm giving a new name? Jehovah is the oldest name in the world. And it's in the Old Testament. I shouldn't have to run over that in Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 3 when I appeared unto thy father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Jehovah is in the Old Testament, so it can't be new. I mean, what will it take to get you all to see what I'm preaching? I mean, I'm having issues with y'all. What does it take to get you to see this? Man, you have to have somebody helping you to miss this. I know I'm not the best communicator in the world, but I think you ought to be able to see this here. That's the way we talk in Mississippi. This here. You can't see this here. You remember Acts 4, 10 through 12? Being known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set in order of your builder, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. James had problems with his people in James 2 and 7. And he raised a question. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Amen. What are we called? Christian. We are called Christians. Amen. That's the new name that God said he would give to his people. We are called by a new name. I'm glad tonight that I have a new name. He put me in the church of Christ. And all I have to do is work out my soul's salvation. I've said enough for a sermon tonight. If you didn't get it, you didn't really want it. And see, I'm not going to even appeal to your intelligence. I just know you know. Be like this woman. Man, this guy, man, he saw this woman. This woman was ugly. And he said, woman, you're ugly. She said, what you say? He said, you ugly. She sent her brothers. And they whipped that guy, man, they whipped him down. She said, well, what you gotta say now? He looked at it, he said, you know. I'm finished. You know. Did you see that? You know. You know. How can you miss it? Called by a new name. Now, what do you call yourself religiously? Let's talk. Religiously, what do you call yourself? And then some people, you know, they you know how people are. They try to fix it up. When I meet people for the first time, didn't I tell you all about when I went to the emergency room? I went to the emergency room, man, I thought I was having a heart attack. And the lady at the desk said to me, she said, what's your religious affiliation? I said, Christian. She said, sir, I know that, but what's your religious affiliation? I said, Christian. She said, sir, I understand that, but what's your religious affiliation? I said, Christian. She said, well, what church do you go to then? I said, Church of Christ. She said, sir, I know that, but what church? church do you go to? Man, I'm about to have a heart attack and this woman getting on my nerve. I want to go see the doctor and she's arguing with me about who I am. And by this time, I'm getting upset, but I don't want to get too upset because I think I'm having a heart attack. So I said, ma'am, you know what your problem is? Your problem is this. When people come in here and sit at your desk and you ask them, what's your religious affiliation? They tell you Catholic, you write it down. They tell you Baptist, you write it down. They tell you Methodist, you write it down. I came in there telling you I'm a Christian and you don't know the Bible, so you're arguing with me about who I am. I'm a Christian woman. But you know what really got me? By the time I got back to the doctor in the emergency room was a member of the Church of Christ. Now I'm ready to get on him. You need to teach these folk when we come in here who we are. I'm finished. Isn't God amazing? We serve an amazing God. You're here tonight. You've heard the word of God. You ought to believe it. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Repent of your sin, Romans 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearing and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now notice, what is it that leadeth us to repentance? It is the goodness of God. And the reason why a lot of folk don't change is because they will not accept the goodness of God. You woke up this morning, that's the goodness of God. You open your eyes to a brand new day. That's the goodness of God. You have the health and strength to put on your clothes. That's the goodness of God. You know, when most people want to change, when they are down and out, they are on their sick bed, can't hardly move, can't hardly get up. Honey, they don't even see the goodness of God when they're down like that. God is trying to get us to come to him as through his goodness. Not through your downness, but through his goodness. I see people in where I preach. Man, them brothers can't hardly walk up to the podium to confess. Oh, Lord Jesus, will you save me, Jesus? Knowing he probably won't be any good for Jesus. I'm serious. When he was experiencing all of God's goodness, he wouldn't come. Look at you right now. You have the goodness of God before you. Why don't you come while you see his goodness? Because when you get down, man, the first thing you're going to say, he's punishing me. But you don't understand that many times, but that's what we say. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess Jesus Christ before this audience tonight to be the Son of God. And then Romans 6 and verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Come on and be baptized and get the name that God called his people by. The name Christian. You do your part, God will do his part. But don't expect God to do his part and you won't do your part. God said it and he'll do it. Now will you do what you say? You came here tonight to learn the word of God, did you not? Now the question is, did you learn? If you did, you ought to do something about it. I've said enough, song leader. We're ready. I know I'm ready.
595.